Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball again, 9 to 11, like we do almost every Saturday. Today, wondering how many All-Stars do the first-place Chicago Cubs have on their roster? And whether on the south side, Luis Robert Jr. has turned the corner again for the White Sox. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing great. Two big Chicago wins last night. Chicago Cubs continue to be the talk of Major League Baseball. The White Sox are starting to play some credible baseball, watchable baseball on the south side. So what is there not to be excited about on a Saturday morning?
Really has been fun to watch the Cubs get off to the kind of start they're off to offensively. A team that scores runs is fun to watch. A team that plays great defense and pitches well is as well, but something about a grand slam home run by Michael Busch against the Brewers brings a smile to your face on a Friday night. Meanwhile, you also have the White Sox after their second straight victory. They're so much more watchable. I know the record is what it is, and the math computes and you project and all of those things remain true, but Bruce, you have to agree. I guess you don't have to agree, but I think the takeaway from watching the White Sox is they're doing the little things better. You can see a little bit of, you can see glimmers of hope on that pitching rotation. And when they win two in a row, it's not anything insignificant for a team that struggles to score runs.
The new energizer is a guy named Meadroth, playing second base, shortstop, leading off, making hard contact, running the bases with wild abandon. I would say those are the two real good reasons to be interested in your Chicago White Sox as they move forward. And then, of course, you know, Luis Robert starting to pick it up and looking like the Luis Robert of 2 years ago.
He definitely is that. He's on a hot streak. We'll get into some of those numbers in a bit. Want to set up the show for you now, though. We are going to talk Cubs and Sox here and listen to you. 312-644-6767. We want your contributions about how many All-Stars you think the Cubs are playing with and who is the most valuable one among them. You could have a couple different answers. So from a Cub perspective, White Sox, what do you think? Are you buying into what they're selling more so this year than before? So we're going to talk that. We're going to have a little bit of chin music later in the show. Pat Murphy, the great manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, who has faced the White Sox earlier this week and now faces the Cubs up in Milwaukee, will join us at 10:30. And also we'll look at the developmental approaches for both teams as it pertains to top prospects like Kosta Montgomery and Matt Shaw.
I think Murphy is probably really excited to be coming on a Chicago radio station after getting shut out by both teams in the last two games.
So, well, 10-0 last night. They go back at it today. Jameson Taillon versus Jose Quintana, unbeaten Jose Quintana. 6:10 first pitch, 5:35 pregame right here on the score. The White Sox back in action this afternoon, 1:10 at Wrigley Field. Hunter Brown versus Davis Martin, a chance for the Sox to win three in a row. But last night in Milwaukee, the Cubs got off to as good of a start for this series as they could have hoped, and they made it tough on Brewers pitching. And this was Craig Counsell, you know, the always effusive Craig Counsell, talking about the big Cub victory.
First, just to make it tough on the opener and bring the, you know, the guy and the Priester into a tough situation. I thought that was a big part of it, and just never letting them get comfortable. But we did a nice job. I mean, our first two times through the order, we were excellent, and obviously got some huge hits in there. And the Bushy home run was like you said, a two strike home run. I think he got a breaking ball up and put a great swing on it.
Craig Counsell last night after the big victory, Bruce, and you look at the Cubs' offense, and it's all about the offense. And we'll get into Ben Brown, who I think, what did we say going into the game? What did you say on the pregame show? You talked to Zach, and you addressed how much pressure was on Ben Brown because Craig Counsell called him out.
No question about it. I mean, the idea, and during the week you talked about it, the idea that you have a different Craig Counsell in a lot of ways, not mincing words to the point of basically telling the media that's not good enough. His last outing against Philadelphia, perfect through three innings, just striking everybody out, and then the fourth inning, you know, he hits a batter to start the inning off, and it comes off, the wheels come off right there. And Counsell coming out and saying, we have to get better than that from him. And last night went totally under the radar that he threw six shutout innings. And as you pointed out to me in our pre-show conversation, no walks.
No walks.
Huge.
No walks. He had command. He strikes out four, and he goes six innings. He rose to the occasion and responded the way you want a young player to respond after hearing his manager tell him, frankly, publicly, he needs to be better. And he was. Also, I think when you talk about the Counsell piece of this, the Ben Brown comments after a couple of days, he called out Bruhan for not charging the ground ball when Trey Turner at the plate and needing to know better. This constant awareness that Craig Counsell brings into the dugout each and every day is why he is here. But I like this year that seems to be, and maybe this is just a perception and not the reality, Bruce, but it seems to be more of a accountability priority for him to publicly state and be honest about what he's feeling.
Let's also be honest that he's a better soundbite now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and again, he's never shied away from being honest, but as you say, you know, he's more willing to talk about it at length, what a player has to do, what a player hasn't done. Okay. And I can guarantee you, much like Ozzie Guillen, when he was a manager, the players already heard it from Counsell before it's said to the media or on a show or anything like that. So this is no great surprise to a player when they hear it for the second time, the first time in person, sitting there or standing there talking to them. He is a very well-respected manager among his group because there are no surprises. He doesn't act. There's not a lot of drama in what he says. He's not a guy looking for confrontation, but he's not afraid to tell you the truth.
He's surely not afraid of it.
No.
He's not afraid of it, and he doesn't make any he lacks drama, and I love the way that he really seems like he detests drama. And I can appreciate that because not everything has to be a dramatic confrontation. He's just very matter of fact. And matter of factly, the Cubs are 20-13 with an offense that is on a historic pace, Bruce. They are the first team, I think, since 1938, the first Cubs team to have 200 or more runs through their first 33 games.
Yeah. And so if you have a dominant team that's pitching oriented and shutting people out, you know, kind of like what the White Sox were all about in 2005, that's one brand of exciting baseball because your team is winning. This is a team that is driven by the offense right now, and It's excitement on the bases. It's excitement in the field. It's excitement at bat. It's everything that you'd want for 33 games from a baseball team in your town. I mean, it's everything you want.
And the last couple of days have been great examples of wondering who is the most valuable hitter in that long lineup that we talk about. Last night, PCA hits two home runs. Michael Busch hits a grand slam. Seiya Suzuki has been on a tear this week. And frankly, this year, there are only three players in baseball with a higher OPS than Seiya Suzuki. And their names are Alex Bregman, Pete Alonso, and Aaron Judge.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You're talking about a 600 slug, you know. I mean, that's pretty incredible. You have Tucker that has a 562 slug, 550 for PCA. I have an ongoing conversation. One of my old teammates at the place I used to work called me out a couple weeks ago because I said on your show with Mully that PCA is going to be an MVP candidate. And it's like, you know, I was called and said, well, you know, what a stretch this is.
Well, I don't think that's exaggeration right now, not based on his start.
Right. And it was longer than 2 weeks ago. It was a month ago. It was, you know, probably 10 days or so into the season.
Before it was trendy, before he started this ascent.
Right. But yeah. I'm not patting myself on the back. You understand the ability this guy has. But when we asked him the first week of the season after he homered in a game, are you a home run hitter? He said, no, I'm not. I'm not a home run hitter. I'm a line drive hitter. I try to hit line drives. And the underrated part of his game is that with his bat speed, he is a power hitter, okay? There's no doubt about it. He hit 10 last year. Most people don't realize that.
He turns on inside pitches so quickly with such power, right, that you can't help but look at him and see that power potential. And so, yes, I do think he is a home run hitter. He hit his 7th and 8th home runs last night. And so it's May 3rd. And so how many is he going to hit this year? More than 20. So if he's a 20 home run guy at that size with his speed and defense,
right,
you're talking about the guy who has the tools to make a run at an MVP when he puts it all together
in a season
where your team
and
wins.
And this might not be the year.
Might not be the year.
I mean, look, the on-base percentage is still low because he doesn't walk. But he's starting. Yeah.
Sorry. I've got
you know what
nitpick.
Council said to me the Can't other bark. Day? Council said to me before they went on the Pittsburgh trip that if he gets a bunt down anywhere, there's a 75% chance he's going to be safe. Okay. And that means not a good bunt, right?
Right.
But the anxiety that him bunting creates.
That's true.
Right?
It does have a ripple effect on the defense, on the pitcher, all those things.
One bobble and he's safe, right?
That's it.
Even on a bunt back to the pitcher.
You can't take that for granted. 312 has a good text. PCA hit a pitch nearly in the dirt into the upper deck last night. Unbelievable. He could be a good MVP choice for this Cub team. There might be others you might see that are underrated. Let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Our buddy Kevin is in Palatine. Welcome inside the clubhouse. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing great. Love the show. So, obviously, there's all the obvious guys. Shota, Kyle Tucker, all of them. But I have to think, you know, when we hear Justin Steele is out for the year, it is complete panic and, you know, pearl clutching. And then all of a sudden, and even though Craig, you know, irritates me sometimes and Jet irritates me, the fact that they got Colin Ray, this dude, like, are you kidding? For an unsung MVP, that has to be him every game. 6-7 innings, one run. Like, he is stabilized. And I know everyone wants us to trade the whole farm system for dude down in Miami who seems to be getting his rear end handed to him every game. Like, I'm not willing to give up 7 prospects for the guy from Miami as long as and I'm not saying we don't have to get someone later. But here's the other thing. Chris Flexen last night, that was another good pickup by Jet, even though I'm still furious we don't have Bregman. Because if we have Bregman, this is the best team in the National League.
That's a good call, Kevin, because you look at last night, Chris Flexen comes up. He had to be promoted by May 1st or else the Cubs risk losing him. 3 innings of scoreless baseball against the Brewers in his Cubs debut, I believe it was. and he piggybacked with Ben Brown, so that's a good call. You look at what Colin Ray has done, Bruce, and he outpitched Paul Skenes the other day, and it made the Cubs won their fourth game that he has started. He also has a save. He's been a guy at 34. You didn't expect to make this kind of contribution. So if it's most valuable pitcher, I think that Kevin's onto something. You could definitely support that idea.
I mean, right now, this segment of the season, and you know, you look at baseball seasons by segments, and for this segment of the season, you know, he has saved the pitching staff because, first of all, he was a viable guy in the bullpen, but now he comes out and he incrementally builds up from 2 2/3 to 3 2/3 to 5 to 6 innings, and he's only given up all season long in his 18 innings 3 walks. Okay, that's the key.
That's pinpoint control.
Yeah,
you could not have seen that coming in spring
training. What did you say about Brown's start yesterday?
Well, he didn't give up a walk.
I know the walks are, you know.
It's funny though with Ben Brown. You may bring up Ben Brown, and I wonder how much of it is mechanics, but how much of those are his mental approach is so important for a young pitcher. And we heard Tommy Hotovy address that earlier in the week on the Mullin Haw Show. He's a great guest every Wednesday. And you look at Ben Brown and you see enormous potential because he's got all the stuff. He does need a third pitch, as Craig Counsell kindly reminded us. But Bruce, I wonder what is it about his makeup and his approach to pitching that makes him have that kind of control one night and lack it the next.
Inexperience. That's all it is. I mean, he's throwing the ball 97, you know, 98, but consistently 97, high fastball out of the zone, and he's got a crazy breaking knuckle curve, okay? So those are two quality pitches, high quality pitches. So what's lacking is if he's not getting one of those pitches over, he can have a long night as far as walking people. Or if he doesn't get, if the other team is smart enough to adjust like the Philadelphia Phillies with their great hitters did after three innings on Sunday, you know, you saw the three innings of them looking silly against him and then a different quality of at-bats against him. Some of them were dunkers that just got in, but the reality was they were more patient with him, making him throw the breaking ball over, which he wasn't able to do. So that's why the third pitch is so important. You have to give the hitter the idea that there's more than two things to look for in an outing.
All of this offense and all of this timely clutch pitching from guys you might not have expected it from have put the Cubs in a position where they're 20-13 after the toughest stretch of their schedule. They are in first place. They are ahead of the Reds, who are not going to go away. They have a lot of talent, and they have Terry Francona. But, Bruce, is almost enough to make you overlook or forget, almost, that they have a problem at third base. You mentioned something, just threw it out there when we mentioned Alex Bregman. If they had Alex Bregman, they'd be the best team in the National League. I don't think that's an exaggeration. To me, you look at what the Cubs are able to do, and they have played six third basemen. Nicky Lopez, the latest to get a shot last night, and he was 0-for-3, but he did score a run, has some good defensive strengths. But what is the plan at third base? And do you think, we talk about Alcantara in Florida, who might be a trade rumor down the road, but how many trade rumors exist right now about potential third baseman for the Cubs?
Not a lot. And the reason is if you look at third base in baseball now, it's a very weak position, okay? Even the guys that had dominant years in the past have struggled as of late.
The Athletic did a story on that yesterday, I think. It was.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point.
And so the idea is, are you trading for like a McMahon from Colorado that might hit 20 home runs, that might hit 220, that's going to play gold glove defense and strike out maybe 200 times in the season? Are you going in that direction? How much are you giving up for that? Will that solidify you? Will it stabilize you? Just knowing you have a really good glove at the position, is that enough? You know, on May 3rd it is, but on June 3rd, if two or three of these guys are in a 10-day, two-week slump, are you going to feel that that's the right player to have?
Meanwhile, Matt Shaw is down at Iowa. He has regained some of his hitting stroke that they liked so much about him in spring training. They promoted him, so we'll wait and see. And we'll talk more about that development later in the program. Let's go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Sneak in a White Sox call. Mike is in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. And I have a quick question, and really would appreciate your insight as to whether or not the White Sox, especially the owner, are being honest with themselves on the impact of the Olson-Montgomery bust out. Are they realizing that their model by drafting young players alone and not investing, as Molly was talking about the other day, and not spending money on getting quality players, isn't going to work because when you are so dependent on one guy and that guy doesn't work out, you're left with what? Are the Sox realizing that they've got a problem with the model, or is it just full speed ahead? What do you guys think?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. We'll get into this in more depth next hour, but real quick, I'll answer the question as much as I can. I think Colson Montgomery is an unfortunate situation because those of us who expected and hoped that he would develop quickly and we're listening to the things that we're being told and looking at all the rankings are profoundly disappointed that he's not good enough to even hit at AAA. So now he has his personal instruction time at Glendale in the Sox facility. I called it Camelback Spa the other day because he's going there to try to get right, and he's got to get right. But, Bruce, I also don't want to look at that one individual, no matter how important he might be, and ignore that when he was drafted and how he has come up, there are other developmental stories that are becoming pretty good ones. Chase Mydroth in the trade, excellent progress so far. Edgar Caro has been a revelation behind the plate. You look at Kyle Teal, what he's doing at Charlotte, I think that's encouraging. You look at the three pitchers at Birmingham, goodness sakes, when they're ready, they're going to be a problem. So Braden Montgomery just got promoted. So yes, I'm as disappointed in Colson Montgomery's development or lack thereof as anybody in town. I love his story because he comes from a small town in Indiana. Who's going to get behind that more than I will? But I also don't think it's fair necessarily to brand the entire organization because of one failure in development. Right now it's a failure, but it can still recover.
So Chicago right now is 1-for-2 with big stars from small towns in Indiana.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sitting across from the other one. But, you know, here's the reality. The first three guys you mentioned after Montgomery all came in trades. Okay?
Right.
So people will say, oh, well, that means the Sox farm system is bad, and that means that they had to go out and get players elsewhere. Yes, they did, and they have. So you give credit to Getz. On one hand, you say, well, Getz was running that minor league system till a year and a half ago, so some of that's on him. And then the rest is they've identified some really outstanding young talent, and you're starting to see it, and you're not putting all your bets on one horse. On Derby Day.
You don't? It is Derby Day. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me, Bruce. Goodness sakes. Oh, my gosh. Dustin and Molly be so disappointed. It's 9:22, and I haven't mentioned the Derby.
And you haven't told us you're betting on journalism.
No. Is that a safe bet these days? Really?
Yeah, well, that's the favorite today, isn't it?
What is the future of journalism? We'll find out about 5:35. To your point, though, Bruce, before we break, you're exactly right. You look at the Cubs as an example. We talked about PCA as an MVP candidate. He was in a trade. He was acquired in a trade. But the Cubs' development of him is important because they have developed him. Look at Ben Brown. Right. He was acquired in a trade for David Robertson. Their development of him matters. So you can get other prospects.
Anthony Rizzo.
Another great example. Going way back to 2016, which this team, dare I say it, Bruce, reminds you a little bit of the start that they had in 2016 when they had the look of a team that was going to have fun in October. Wow.
Sean, mark this down so we can go back to...
I'm taking the note here.
May 3rd, I have declared the Cubs
9:22
look like
in 2016.
Yeah. All right.
Right after David mentioned Derby Day. Got it. All right. It's
deep
all written
breaths,
down here.
Deep breaths. We were all
There's nothing wrong with being excited about your team
it's
now.
Fun. It's a fun start to the
We're
Cubs.
From Chicago, so you always have that, yeah, but the Chicago thing always happens to us. Well... it doesn't always happen. And the idea is what prevents it from happening is having really good players, really good pitchers, really good management. And that is where the White Sox are trying to get to and where the Cubs might be as we watch the rest of the 2025 season unfurl.
Speaking of White Sox management, Chris Getz said something the other day that automatically qualified him for a little chin music. And we'll play that next when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine, David Haw, here until 11, talking baseball, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
For some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
We know that they're frustrated and they're hungry for us to, you know, stack more wins in the win column. But we need to be disciplined in our process. We need to develop these guys at an appropriate rate. We can't just put everyone on the major league club and expect us to get the most out of that group. We certainly understand the frustration. you know, we're working daily on trying to find ways to improve players, improve this team. We wish that it was an overnight project. It's not. There's a lot of good things going on in this organization, and we have faith that better days are ahead.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine, till 11 o'clock, playing a little chin music there. Chris Getz, that was his voice, talking about the White Sox development approach, the patience required. By the fan base that might be out of patience if you're a Sox fan, and everyone understands why. And that is relevant as it pertains to, hey, Chris, you see what Tim Elko's doing at Charlotte? He's hitting home runs all over the place. Hey, Chris, you see what Grant Taylor is, your minor league pitcher of the month, doing at Birmingham? Why not bring him up? Hey, Chris, there are guys at the AAA level that can't make your major league team much worse, so why not bring them up? That's what we say on a regular basis, that what fans clamor when they go to the rate. And I think, Bruce, it's a fair question, and I think you have to have a different level of patience, though, when you are the architect or the general manager or whatever you want to call them. You have to have different patience levels when you're in those jobs.
You have a really fine-looking young catcher behind the plate that was promoted, what, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago?
He's had 40 at-bats going into last night, and he had 12 hits. Edgar Caro has arrived.
Right. Now, is he going to hit 340 all year? No, he's not. Okay. There'll be an adjustment period when they find out his hot and cold zones, and he'll have to readjust. He's a good player. He's probably going to be a good player for a long time. You have a second baseman shortstop, Medroth, who is, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, an energizer, a guy that goes out there. He's a dirty uniform guy. He hits line drives. He reminds you of some White Sox players from the past, Ozzie Guillen, Joey Cora type players. Ooh. That just hit line drives and run the bases and make things happen. And so what I'm trying to say is, Getz is putting, you know, the reality into, hey, we have these players. We need to see them do well in the minor leagues, and then we're going to move them up.
And this is the hard part. This is the hard part. And I talked to Will Venable about this the other night when we were on the Chicago Lead on CHSN at the White Sox Charities event. And it is such a results-driven business because that is professional sports. That's the professional part of professional sports. But sometimes you're looking for things that you have to not ignore the results, but take into account that they're not going to be great until it's all part of the process. You're going to struggle, then you're going to succeed. And guys that you mentioned, the developmental, the arc of their development is not going to be linear, as people always say. So you've got to have that patience. And I'm glad that some people in those jobs do, because everybody's got a role. Ours is to hold people accountable, hopefully put some pressure on them to you know, have this in the front of their minds. And their job is to, you know, pick their spots, resist, ignore, and then maybe, in Chase Meidroth's case, call him up and see what he's got. Edgar Caro's case, call him up, see what he's got, and be happy with those results, because those were good moves and decisions to bring up those guys when they did.
So the one thing Getz can't do is spend money on players right now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's not going to happen. You're going to have to develop players, really good ones, make good trades, which appears, you know, when you trade a guy like O'Shea, who's probably, again, on pace this year to be up there in the top three for Cy Young Award winner if he doesn't get injured along the way, you have to win that trade. You have to get two or three top prospects. And it looks like, you know, the way that, Montgomery, number two, who came in the Boston trade, now promoted another level in the minor leagues, and the way Medroth is playing right now, and then Teal, you know, that's a trade that is probably going to work out very well for both teams, right? And
one would think the way it's trending right now, you know, Kyle Teal is a prospect, and they have a surplus of catching prospects, but they'll find a spot to play him if he continues to hit.
But the pain for White Sox fans is real. It's going to stick around. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to win more than 60 games this year, probably. But the brand of baseball they play is something you pay attention to, David. And the brand of baseball, other than the game the other day where they made three errors, probably their worst game of the year. They've been playing pretty good defensive baseball, and they have not beaten themselves in games. Certainly the back end of the bullpen is going to be continue to be a question for the entire year, developing roles into a real setup man, a real closer. You know, those things are going to probably take place. We haven't even talked about a closer for the White Sox because over the past 2 years, you haven't needed one.
You really
haven't
needed one. And those are high leverage situations that, you know, they have not faced. And so it's been sort of a moot point.
Right. But the reality is that watching a better brand of baseball, watching players that have a chance to continue to get better, I think, and I don't speak for White Sox Nation ever, but I think that's something that they can look at a player and go, hey, he might be good.
Well,
this guy might be good. You know what? I'm going to watch a whole game rather than just watch the first two innings.
Look at Miguel Vargas, because he's an example of a guy who they have had patience with because they've had maybe few other options. But he is somebody that made an adjustment with his hands and his swing. And he has enjoyed a nice little hot streak over the past 10 games. He's hitting close to, I think he's hitting over 350. He's being more selective. His OPS is robust. And you look at the way that he has adjusted, adapted, and now started to look more like the guy that you thought you were getting when you made the trade with the Dodgers. I don't know how sustainable it is, but these are the kinds of ebbs and flows that are going to be consistent with young players like him. Maybe getting a guy something as easy as going out and signing Gage Workman lit a fire with Miguel Vargas, because he knows that they brought him there for maybe to take some of his at-bats away. But Vargas is a good example of somebody who has started to turn the corner now.
Yeah, no question. And again, the patience with some of these players is needed by the manager, by the coaching staff, by the front office. It's not needed by fans. They don't need to watch this if they don't want to. But again, I always insist, you're as a baseball fan, you're entitled to watch baseball during the season. And if it's not your team, you're not rooting for the Cubs or the Yankees because your team isn't doing well.
Let's get out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Squeeze in a quick call. Ray is in Orland Park. Good morning, Ray. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you. David, it's always nice crossing paths with you. I saw you with Scottie Pippen at the Union League Club, and I saw you at Coombs Corner with Coombs last summer. So you're always so kind to your fans when we come out and say hey, so I appreciate it. And Bruce, you're just the czar of baseball, so always a pleasure to talk to the czar when I get a chance. So throwing out some old White Sox names for a possible Cubs third baseman. You guys are right that the league stinks right now. Other than Bregman, you're really stretching to find anybody who's hitting it all. But a couple interesting nuggets. Yoan Moncada, if he's healthy, he's off to a pretty good start with the Angels. And Jake Berger just got sent down by the Rangers. Are they done with him? Do they want to move on from him? Could a reuniting with the National League help him? He had a great year last year. I mean, you're not looking for a long-term solution. You're looking for a flyer to give you a spark. Are these the guys to do it? Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate the phone call. Jake Berger got sent down.
Yes, he did.
That surprised you?
Really struggling hitting this year, you know.
He's been through a lot, and I know that he would be a popular choice because of his fandom. I mean, he's got a lot of fans, and people respect him around the game. He would be very popular in Chicago. I don't know.
You mentioned Kevin Ori.
We had fun the other day, Bruce, on the Mullin Hall Show, going back to Gary Scott, Kevin Ori, all of the long lists of names that the Cubs have tried at that position unsuccessfully.
Yeah, they had the nice 6 or 7 year run with Aramis Ramirez. That was
steady.
That was as steady as it was since Ron Santo.
And then there was Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant was...
When MVP, Joe wasn't putting him in another position.
When Joe Maddon let him play third base rather than trying him all over the place for the good of the team, and yet he won an MVP anyway. Yeah, they don't need an MVP-caliber third baseman. They don't need even an all-star-caliber third baseman. They need somebody that would defensively is not going to let him down, and every now and then get a timely hit.
You know, again, when counsel last week said that they're basically holding the position for Shaw, I was shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so not counsel-like to say something like that. Craig Counsell's in the proving business and developing business more than anything else. You know, we'll give you a chance to develop. You have to learn. You have to incrementally get better. We'll keep you here. Oh, you know, you're going back to the minor leagues. They were this close, David. No one can see it on the radio, but this close to sending Armstrong back last year because they didn't think he was ready. But all of a sudden, within, you know, a few days of that, he started to turn the corner.
Well, that's the path.
Have better at bats.
That's the plan. That's got to be the plan.
Right. So last year was about development. Wasn't about winning the division. They couldn't do both at the same time. I always insist that you can't, and I believe it. You had development at center. You had development at first. You had a third base hole. You had a young catcher in Amaya catching every day for the first time. A lot of development going on. What's happened with all those guys now? Third base is still a hole. But those other three, first base, center field, catcher, catching position has the most production of any position in baseball with Kelly and Amaya right now.
815 text. And remember Bill Madlock, two batting titles in the 70s at third base. He would have been the best third baseman in Cub history if he had not been traded. 618, remember Mike Ott?
Wow. Yes, I do.
Or is it Mike Ott or Mike Olt?
Olt.
Mike Olt was a Cub third baseman.
Right.
And Mike Olt is somebody that you have to strain your memory to kind of remember. Can we have time for one more quick phone call? Mark is in St. Charles. Mark, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, actually, though. I've been in Chicago 29 years, kind of hate listening to the Cubs. But I can't. They're very likable right now, so I want to help them. So here's my trade is Kebron Hayes, the Pirates. It worked with Aramis Ramirez. Maybe it would work with Kebron Hayes. He's all glove, no bat. But the Cubs don't need hitters.
Can you get Randall Simon thrown in too? Good phone call, Mark. Good memory.
I get Kenny Lofton.
How about that?
I would say that that's a really good call. By what we saw with Pittsburgh. There's so many lame offenses in baseball right now, and Pittsburgh is among the lamest. They're going nowhere, even though they have good starting pitching. They're going nowhere. I think a trade for a guy like Brian Hayes would probably work out. I don't think he's making a ton of money. I think the Pirates signed him to a longer term deal. Problem with Hayes is he's been getting hurt every single year.
When we come back, I want to ask Bruce about one guy we have yet to mention when we talk about Cub All-Stars, Cub MVPs, and Cub Surprises. I'll ask him what he thinks of this name. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Look, this is good news, man. Like, we've got players playing well in AAA, so that's great news. Just keep playing well. Frankly, there's not an opportunity for Moises right now. I hope there's not one for a while, to be honest with you, because that means everything's here is going really well. But, you know, player playing well, know that if something happens, that he's certainly somebody we have to consider.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Craig Counsell talking about Moises Ballesteros, who we'll talk about a little bit more at the top of the hour, and the Cub prospects could be on the way. But one of the reasons Craig Counsell was so adamant and so definitive about, well, you, there's no room. I don't care what he's hitting. There's no room. There's no need, Bruce. Carson Kelly right now has been the biggest surprise on a team that is at 20-13, the highest producing offense in baseball. And Carson Kelly, to me, is one of the more unexpected reasons why.
No doubt. I think listening to Pat and Ron and Zach do the call yesterday on the score, the Cubs and Brewers, Pat talked about the fact that they've gotten 17 home runs from the 7, 8, and 9 hitters in their lineup, which is incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah. In 55 at-bats, Carson Kelly has 7 home runs, 22 runs batted in. He's hitting .364 for his batting average. His OPS, 1318, 1.318.
840 slug.
840 slug.
840, okay. The all-time record for a slug is not in the 800s,
can
okay?
Can you call him Chicago's very own? A Chicago native. He was born here.
Yeah, born here.
1994.
Raised elsewhere.
Raised in Oregon. His right. father, I believe, was a Nike executive, and the family moved out to the great Pacific Northwest. And so he's been around for a while, too. You can't plan on things like this. I think you can hope that Miguel Amaya, who has been very productive as well, this catching position has been as lethal as any in baseball. Carson Kelly has been the perfect complement for Miguel Amaya, or maybe the other way around.
They have 37 or 38 RBI.
That's really productive.
Yeah.
That's...
You're talking in 33 games
for
right?
your 9-hitter, really. Right. Although I should say that
Kelly was he cleanup man yesterday.
He hit cleanup.
Yeah.
So he's in the order. He's been what maybe they. I don't want to say this is what they expected out of Justin Turner, but batting fourth, Justin Turner when he played was in the lineup way higher than you would want, given what he's not been able to do at the plate. But Carson Kelly has been a guy. I don't think you can sustain this, but he reminds me of what Yan Gomes did for the Cubs a couple seasons ago when nobody really had thought that was right. going to be production you could count
He's
on.
A younger version by about 4 or 5 years. So I think he's only going to be 31 this year. So the thing that I talked to him about when they were home last week was, when did this turnaround happen for you? Because you were a struggling hitter for a lot of your career. And he goes, it really happened in Detroit last year. And he was with two teams last year. He said, you know, I changed some things mechanically in Detroit. And it seemed to click. And his path to the ball, you know, from spring training on, the first day of spring training games on, has just been consistently hard hit balls. You know, you'll see the other day I saw a blooper, but most everything is just pounded, right? I mean, just center, left center, just nailing the ball. And you know what? I mean, in Cub history, there are very few names you remember that came on and became all stars in their early 30s.
In the 30s?
Jim Hickman is one going back to
way
the
back.
69
Especially
team.
Catchers, though.
Right.
Catchers.
It doesn't happen.
How old was Barry Foote when he made the All-Star team? Wasn't he an All-Star catcher?
Yeah, I don't know.
Way back.
I remember he had 8 RBIs 45 years ago in a game.
But to your point, this is Carson Kelly's 5th team
right.
in the majors. And very seldom do you see somebody on their 5th team look like the kind of player that is indispensable. And he looks like he has been, and he's been as potent as any bat in that lineup when he's been in that lineup. And that shows you that this has been one of those kinds of years so far where for the Cubs, outside of the Matt Shaw disappointment, almost every other position has come through at times in the way they needed it to and expected it to. Dansby Swanson even being the latest now to start rising.
He's really, you know, he's had a really productive week. He's hit the ball extremely well. He's hitting the ball to all fields. I think the idea that Swanson tries to do too much in his at-bats is true. Also, the fact that he doesn't have to be the man. He's already being paid like the man. At shortstop, he has no peer. There's nobody that plays more consistent, outstanding shortstop than Shaw. I mean, rather than Swanson. So, you know, be who you are. You know, don't try to recreate an image of I must live up to $22 million a year. No, you are a really good shortstop. You can be a vital cog, a part of that offense. Don't try to carry the team.
First hour flew by here on Inside the Clubhouse. We have plenty more to get to, including Pat Murphy, the manager for the Milwaukee Brewers at 10:30. But when we come back, Bruce had a very interesting conversation with a third base prospect that now plays right field for the Houston Astros. They are in town at Wright Field. They're playing the White Sox later today. We'll talk about what Cam Smith's trade and his absence in the Cub organization means to their development and how what that means as it pertains to Matt Shaw. All of it next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.